Welcome to another episode of the Alter Your Health podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, hello and welcome. We value your time and energy and hope you receive a lot from tuning in. As a listener-supported show, we rely on you to help us grow. We'd be so grateful if you share the show or a favorite episode with a friend or fellow health seeker. Living a healthy and nourishing life doesn't always come easily, especially in today's crazy world. But that's why we're here, doing what we love, hopefully helping you along with information and inspiration that fuels your health pursuits. If you're looking for more support, consider subscribing to the monthly meal guide membership. Just $11 per month gets you access to a weekly meal guide filled with healing and delicious whole food plant-based recipes, along with invitations to our regularly scheduled support calls where we can connect, answer questions, and keep the good vibes flowing in our healthy lives. You can learn more at www.alter.health/meal-guides. And if you're looking for more in-depth support, check out our other services. We offer both one-on-one consulting as well as educational programs. All of our current offerings are listed at www.alter.health. Our ultimate goal is to empower you to heal yourself. Keeping with that theme, let's dive into today's show. What's your sign? I'm a Sagittarius, first house, Scorpio rising, Pisces moon. That's about as much as I know, but our guest on the podcast today knows much more about astrology and much more about how to use astrology for enhanced health and well-being. And by the way, this is the Alter Your Health podcast. This is another episode of the show that is designed to inform and inspire you to be your own healer, your source of information and inspiration to promote the holistic transformation of you and our planet. And I'm Dr. Benjamin Alter. I'm the host of this podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day or weaving this into your day, whether it's in your commute or on your walk or your run or you're doing the grocery errand, grocery shopping or cooking, whatever it is. Thank you for bringing me into your life. Thank you for tuning in. Our guest today, like I kind of alluded to already, is a professional astrologer. But, you know, my limited understanding of astrologer leads me to know that she is pretty unique and special in her gifts and the way that she approaches astrology. So Danielle Beinstein was a classmate of mine at the University of Santa Monica Spiritual Psychology Program. I was there between the years of about 2011 and 2014. And Danielle and I were in the Consciousness, Health, and Healing program the last year of this master's program together, and that's where we met. But despite the conversations and connections that we did have, I actually didn't know that she was a professional astrologer at that time. I came to know by following her on Instagram and hearing her share, or reading rather, her insights and perspectives on the world and astrological transits and all this kind of stuff. So it was great to connect and share some insights and receive some insights in this conversation. And for those of you who don't know Danielle yet, you're in for a treat. She is a psychological astrologer. She's born and raised in New York City, but offers a unique blend of East and West Coast sensibility, providing her clients with intuitive and pragmatic guidance as they navigate their life's journey. She graduated from the University of Santa Monica Master's Program in Spiritual Psychology in 2012. And then did the Consciousness, Health, and Healing program where her and I connected. And you can find more information about Danielle at her website, daniellebeinstein.com. That's daniellebeinstein.com. And she has a wonderful course, an intro to astrology course that looks really special, looks really intriguing. I think I might actually check it out myself. So you could also follow Danielle on Instagram. She's got a great, lovely Instagram where, like I said, she shares a lot of cool stuff. And that's Danny Beinstein, at Danny Beinstein on Instagram, D-A-N-I, I believe. So speaking of courses, by the way, we've got a course at Alter Health. We have the Medicinal Living online course, which is a self-guided course also, like Danielle's, but this is focused on health, holistic health and healing, specifically nutrition, lifestyle, what we call the foundational determinants of health that are essential for supporting the body in achieving optimal health and vitality, and also reversing disease. So if you're interested in learning more about the Medicinal Living online course, you can go to www.alter.health/course, and you can use the code ALTERYOURHEALTH to receive 20% off of what we believe is really a transformative opportunity to shift the direction of your health and your life. So without further ado, I would like to just make way for this lovely conversation with Danielle. So some of the things Danielle and I talk about in this conversation are the opportunities that each astrological sign kind of presents throughout life. We also talk about the parts of the body and organ systems that are associated with each astrological sign. And on that note, Danielle did want me to bring more information to share with you before we dive in. There were a few kind of mistakes and holes in the information that she was sharing when she was on the spot in the conversation. Turns out she's human. So the part of the body that is associated with Libra is actually the skin. The part of the body that's associated with Sagittarius, which is my sign, is my sun sign, is the thighs, which is really interesting because I've had really tight hamstrings literally my whole life. And Pisces, the part of the body associated with the astrological sign Pisces, is the feet. So we talk about the other kind of connections to the physical body. We also talk about the state of affairs globally, politically, and how amazing of a time it is when we look at the astrological transits that are happening at this time. It really allowed me to kind of see the world and what's happening with new eyes, new perspective, and I think that really helps in traversing and navigating life in general. So I do hope you enjoy this really deep and insightful conversation with our lovely guest, Danielle Beinstein. Well, Danielle Beinstein, welcome to the Alter Your Health podcast. So happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I don't think we've seen each other in, what, 5 years?
Now that you say it, it's been 5 years, yeah, since the third year of USM, the Consciousness, Health, and Healing Program.
Yeah.
So happy to reconnect and catch up. And when we were in the program and, you know, our time overlapping and talking with one another, I never knew that astrology was your thing. So when and how did you get into kind of the world of astrology?
I actually started getting into it when I was 19 years old. And it was basically my initial gateway into spirituality and understanding that there was something larger going on. I was kind of raised in an atheist home, very science-based. And when I was in college, I just kind of found a book, the big birthday book. And, you know, I read about my birthday and I was like, well, no one's ever been able to kind of nail me like this. So what is this thing? And that just started my path. And I kind of kept it closeted. I told a few people. One person that I told, that I spoke about with at NYU in college actually ended up getting like a PhD in Germany related to astrology in a very, you know, from a very scientific perspective. And so I would meet these kind of people along the way. And then my first job out of college, my boss was really into astrology. So I would find safe spaces to kind of talk about it, but all the while I was learning on my own. And then I went into media, both from a political angle, a nonprofit angle, and then an entertainment angle, and kind of hit a wall around 29 years old. And I ended up attending USM, where we met each other, where I got a 3-year master's in spiritual psychology. And after I completed that program, I just, through a series of events, felt called to just, and was getting a lot of feedback that I should just surrender to this being my thing. And that's basically how it unfolded. But I had been essentially secretly studying it for decades.
You mentioned this birthday book. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the birthday book is. I guess it sounds like
it's like a giant book. It's and it just has everyone's birthday in it. It has all the birthdays and then a description of the personalities based on the birthday. That was just like, wait, what is this? And then I just started to do a deep dive, reading all the different authors and just studying it on my own in any way. And then I just always had an aptitude for psychology, just sort of intuitive understanding of people's patterns that I don't know where it came from. I seem to have been born with it. I just could spot patterns really, really easily and was always counseling people on the side. And then I kind of brought that together. I fused it. And then when I graduated from USM and had those tools and those facilitation tools and those counseling tools and had looked at my own shadow, and was able to hold space for people in a wholly different way, I made it my profession. Because it was always my shadow career, no matter what I was doing. It's what I was always actually doing at the office.
Cool. It's like what your heart and soul and mind was like distracted at, you know, during your free time, you would, it sounds like you would indulge yourself in things that were sparking that inside of you.
Yeah. And it never felt complicated to me. There's a lot of stuff that felt complicated in life, but it's like, I started studying French in fourth grade. And I think I can say je t'aime, you know, I took it for through freshman year of college and language didn't stick in that way. But astrology was just a language that I understood right off the bat. It just made sense to me.
That's very interesting. And, you know, my question about like your self-study, just knowing that there's so much out there to dive into and so many little rabbit holes within the context of astrology, I'm sure that you could get lost in. What were some of your strategies and also like the go-to resources that helped you understand this new language?
That's an interesting question. So I come from an extremely rigorous academic background. So I had that kind of structure. And, you know, I often say that my, though astrology is the way that I expressed what comes easily to me, the thing that really comes easily to me is being able to take massive amounts of information and digest them and then make them easily understood in layman's terms. That's always been my thing. And so my angle was always from understanding the human psyche. And once that was my angle, then I studied everything through the lens of the human psyche. That's how I approached everything. And so that became an easy way to discover. You know, the first way to really start to understand astrology is, of course, the signs and the archetypes of the signs. There are 12 zodiac signs. The second would be the planets, what they represent. And then the houses. So a natal chart is made up of a 360-degree wheel divided into 12 pie slices. And those pie slices are the houses and they represent different aspects or arenas of our life. So I just, obviously those three, started with those three. And then I just kept doing a deep dive. Then you have to do the aspects, the energy between the planets or points. Then the points to look at. For example, the ascendant, the descendant, the midheaven, the nadir, all of these points. So I just kind of, I don't know. I think it's just because I was always self-studying. Even in college, I did independent courses in my undergraduate degree. So that's, I've always been an independently minded student.
So when you picked up this birthday book and the astrology and the description of you and your sign spoke to you, how else along your path did astrology personally connect with you and motivate you and inspire you? Did you have any other kind of insights or experiences where like, whoa, this is a real thing. This is powerful.
Yeah. So like I said, you know, I made a friend an acquaintance in college who was studying it. So, and then my first my first boss out of college when I worked at Scholastic was really into astrology and was much older than me and very knowledgeable. And she was like, you really understand this stuff. So I would get these markers. And then at USM, there's a very famous astrologer. She'd been doing it for 30 years or so, or even more. And she just said, you know, you can do this. I'm telling you, you understand it. And so I got these, I got this kind of permission along the way.
But my question, yeah, my question is more along the lines of like, did you ever have a reading or an experience with your own chart that was like,
yes,
you know, powerful and yeah, inspirational?
Well, yes. Once I started to understand my own chart and use my own chart as a point of healing and self-discovery, that opened my life completely. Mm-hmm. Like that changed the course of my life because I started to understand why I was doing what I was doing. I started to understand my motivation, my desires in a way that I could clearly elucidate. And that that had an enormous impact on me. Mm-hmm.
So what is your, so when someone asks like, what is your sign? Like what's your answer? Because I know there's many things that you could share from that. Obviously people are asking, what is your sun sign? But when you kind of, how do you like to share your sign, so to speak, quote unquote, to other people? And how do you encourage other people to share their sign?
Well, when people ask that, what they're asking is what their sun sign is, right? So my sun sign is Virgo. But, you know, I have a very Saturnine chart, meaning my chart is heavily impacted by Saturn and by the moon. So I'll talk about that. And, you know, there's different planets or points or luminaries that have greater impact in a chart depending. So it's hard to, when people say, what's your sign in terms of like at a party, they're referring to the sun sign. But when an astrologer will say you may be Plutonian, which you have a very heavy influence in Scorpio or Pluto, they may say you're Saturnine, which means that there's a heavy focus on responsibility, duty, backbone. Jupiter, which is expansion, right? A sense of optimism, exploration of the higher mind. So it's looking at the impact of the outer planets as well and how heavily they play out in the chart. There's an astrologer named Donna Cunningham, and she, online you can take a test to see, you know, how heavily you are influenced by the outer planets.
Got it. So, and then, you know, like obviously most people are familiar with astrology just based on the horoscope, mm-hmm. Which is in like the newspaper and magazines, and now there's all the apps and stuff like that. And talk to me a little bit about your perspective, your psychological, spiritual perspective on astrology and how that maybe is unique and different from, you know, what people classically understand as being astrology.
Yeah, so a lot of people who classically understand astrology see it as predictive. They see it as this is going to happen to you. That's not my approach at all. My approach is we are made up of the energy in our chart and how we choose to respond to it, how we choose to utilize it, is going to reveal the course of our life, right? We can stay in victim consciousness and be in blame, and assume that our entire lives are completely fated, or we can take personal responsibility and be a steward of the energy that is given to us or through our, you know, our birth. So, you know, horoscopes are really reductive because it's very productive. It's based on the idea that your rising, your sun sign is your rising sign at 0 degrees, which sounds very complicated, but basically it's not as universal as it may appear.
It's kind of the archetypal sign. There's the 12 zodiacs, and it's like the archetype of each one.
Yes, but when they're saying, let's say that Saturn is moving into your fifth house, it's not mathematically accurate that every person who is, you know, a Virgo will have Saturn transiting through their fifth house at the same time.
I see.
So it's not as exact as people make it out to be.
Well, it can't be because there's however many billion people and there's only 12 zodiac signs.
Yes, exactly. So the mathematical degrees really play a huge part. So I have a very, you know, very advanced program that I use to get people the exact dates of certain transits. But then it's really the majority of my work is the counseling, the spiritual counseling and facilitation around either the natal chart or the transits that one is experiencing. Mm-hmm. So people do not come to me because they want to know the exact date to get married or the exact date to take a job, because it'll end up very far from that. I mean, they may come to me for that, but ultimately we get to deeper and deeper levels as to what's motivating the individual, what's present, what limiting beliefs or fears are there that are preventing them from really attuning to their deepest heart yearnings and the lessons available to them through the various transits.
Yeah, what I'm really interested in is, you know, the kind of intersection or the relationship between astrology and health and well-being, you know, and like how we can gain enhanced health and well-being through insight into our chart. Yeah.
Yeah. So that comes because that's a great question. You know, I find that dis-ease comes when people, myself included, I'm a person, fights against the what isness, right? When there is a grasping or a clamping, or our body is trying to reveal to us that we are not listening to our deeper inner yearnings. And then our body gives us biofeedback as a result of that. So a lot of my work in astrology is to acquaint people with and deepen people's awareness of their core makeup, to align them with their true calling. And a lot of times we're just seeking permission. You know, a lot of times at the end of a session, people will be like, you know, just hearing this gives me affirmation of who I thought I already was. And, you know, sometimes we just need that added push to trust in what our deepest self is telling us, or we need space held for us so that we can look at the, you know, the fears or limiting beliefs or anxiety that is running the show, and that how that shows up, it can cause disease in the body. All the different signs represent different aspects of the body. So for example, Virgos or people with strong Virgo energy, a lot of times their issues show up in digestive ways.
Cool. Yeah. I'd like to hear more about the connections between the signs and the parts of the body. And also another thing that I kind of, you know, has been explained and introduced to me in the context of astrology is like these opportunities. You know, the chart is really like a way to see opportunities to learn and grow. And I think that if we can, you know, have greater awareness of these spiritual and also real life physical opportunities, like then we can, you know, move into our health or move into our life in a healthy sort of way.
Yeah. So it's always how we respond. It's never the thing itself. It's how we respond to it. Right. So Saturn is a really powerful way that opportunities and lessons show up, being the planet of karma. Saturn takes about 28 and a half years to go around the zodiac. About every 7 years, we will have a Saturn transit when we are confronted or fears or blocks that we have to walk through. It's a point of maturation. Saturn transits are major points of maturation. So a lot of times, a lot of my clients are experiencing what's known as the Saturn return, which happens at about the age of 29, when Saturn returns to the point it was at birth. And that's really a time when we feel the pressure to grow up, to adult, so to speak, to make decisions and to take on more responsibility, whatever that looks like. some people will get married, some people will break up because they realize that relationship really doesn't have longevity. Some people have their first child, some people will advance in their career, some people will feel like I'm on the wrong career path and I need to pivot. It's really depending on where the Saturn return takes place in the chart. So that's a way that that can manifest. Jupiter transits. Jupiter takes about 12 years to go around the zodiac. So Jupiter transits are points of elevation, of expanding beyond the comfort zone, exploring new horizons. So yes, different transits show up as opportunity. And again, it's how we greet them, because Saturn transits can engender a lot of fear, but they're also an opportunity to deepen self-esteem. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go through the signs and share kind of the connections with the body that you were talking about?
So I'm just to be clear, astrology, healthcare is not my specialty. My specialty is purpose and relationship. But that being said, I will definitely notice, and it also aligns with the chakras, right? Which we learned. So for example, Aries is the head, right? Aries represents the head. Taurus represents the throat. Gemini is often the hands. Cancer is the breast, sometimes the heart. Leo is the heart and also the solar plexus, like the essence. Virgo is the digestive system. Following that, we have Libra. Libra is air. So I find that Libra is like the exchange of energy, right? How we exchange energy with other. A lot of times with Libra, I find that there is partnership. You know, the need of getting along will affect the physical well-being. Scorpio is the genitals or the reproductive system. Sagittarius, I don't associate a specific body part. I'm sure there is one, but in counseling, there's not one that's coming forward for me, you know, exactly. Capricorn is the skeletal system, the bones, the teeth, and Aquarius is the breath. It's the circulatory system. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Sagittarius, I wonder if it could be related to any of the fire signs, overheat, anger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that Sagittarius needs a lot of freedom. If they feel caged, it will not bode well for their system.
How about Pisces?
Oh, and Pisces. How did I forget Pisces? Pisces is spiritual attunement. So it's the mystic.
Body.
Yeah, exactly. Like the aura. Mm-hmm. The crown chakra, maybe even. Mm-hmm.
And moving through the zodiac, like like seeing that each kind of sun sign, you know, because people do, would you say that people do have kind of a dominant sign that dictates how they are in the world?
Yeah. And that can be seen through the planet. You know, like I said, like someone who's heavily Saturnine or someone who's heavily lunar or mercurial, you know, and then that relates back to a sign. So for example, like if you're saying someone's heavily Venusian, Venus rules both Libra and Taurus, but Libra is an air sign. Taurus is an earth sign. So the way that manifests is going to be quite different.
So someone who has a lot of Libra in their chart, whether it's a Libra sun or ascendant or whatever it is, then they have Venetian energy.
Yeah. Yes. They're heavily Venusian. Yeah. So Venusian. The energy of Venus.
And
Venus governs.
Yeah, if you could share, kind of go through the zodiac or the planets and share like kind of what the opportunities are for each of the, you know, someone who has a Venusian chart, what are the opportunities that might be present for them?
Yeah, so I'll go through the zodiac. So Aries is ruled by Mars. Mars is the planet of drive, of action. The opportunity there is both the willingness to be challenged in life, to experience new challenges, to jump right in, but the shadow can be impulsivity or selfishness. So is that what you want, kind of the going through?
Yeah, I think that it helps for people to kind of, you know, have a relationship and connection with like what, yeah, like what, because we all kind of hear what an Aries and fire kind of tendency is, but what are the opportunities that may present in life to transcend or integrate or, you know, fully realize whatever that a healthy expression of that person or archetype is?
Yeah, so Aries would be that energy really excels when they're up for a challenge, when they're willing to take on new experiences. And like I said, the shadow can be impulsivity or selfishness. When we're talking about Taurus, Taurus is fixed earth and it's ruled by Venus. And so it's sensuality. It can be very predictable, very stable. And the opportunity with Taurus is to build things over the long haul, to really commit, to see things through. The shadow of that can be stubbornness, an unwillingness to try new things. After that is Gemini. Gemini is hyper curious. It's ruled by Mercury. And so it can be easily distracted, right? And the shadow can also be kind of gossip, looking at the superficial side of things. But the opportunity is to engage in the curiosity, engage in play. Cancer, which is ruled by the moon, so it's lunar, it's very emotional, very intuitive, very feeling. A nurturer, but the shadow can be that it can be emotionally controlling, right? That it's so security minded that it can be almost clingy and untrusting in the unfolding of things. Leo is heart centered energy. It is ruled by the sun. So the solar plexus, like the ability to shine brightly, to be a creative force, to have strong will. The shadow side of it can be being dramatic, right? So looking at the ways in which we may be dramatic or histrionic or persuasive to the point of not listening deeper. After that, we have Virgo. Virgo is ruled by Mercury, as well as Gemini being ruled by Mercury, but it's Earth. And so it's adaptable, but its adaptability is usually in terms of being of service. Its shadow side is that can be really critical or picky, but the positive side of that is can be really discerning. After that, we have Libra. Libra is partnership, where we meet the other. The opportunity for Libra is to excel in diplomacy and partnership. The shadow side of it is codependency, getting along at any cost, even as a betrayal to self. After that, we have Scorpio. Scorpio is all about how we exchange energy with another, the psyche, the willingness to explore the psyche and the shadow side of life, to be unafraid of the darkness in relation to the light. It's alchemical, it can transform. Its shadow side is that it can be manipulative or jealous. After that, we have Sagittarius. Sagittarius is explorative. Sagittarius is willing to go to new heights. It's highly philosophical. The opportunity is to seek the truth of whatever the situation is without being a know-it-all. Because it can be preachy or bombastic. After that, we have Capricorn. Capricorn is backbone, right? Capricorn's ruled by Saturn. So it's about responsibility and integrity. The shadow side can be seeking status as a form of security or over-focus on achievement. After that, we have Aquarius. Aquarius is, it can be really fixed ideologically, which can be both good or bad. It's egalitarian It's progressive. It's usually excels in social sciences or any way that's kind of futuristic. And it's open to the collective, but it can be really rigid in its thinking. It can be really detached emotionally and kind of love humanity, but not necessarily love people as individuals and all their complexity. And then Pisces is highly attuned. It's mystical. It's creative in flow, in being a vessel, but it can be escapist, maybe even addictive. Is that kind of what you're looking for? Yeah.
Great. Yeah. And one thing that, you know, really resonates with me is that we all have all of these, right?
Yep. Like, that's right.
We all have all of these because a lot of people just fixate on, oh, you know, I'm a Sagittarius, this is me. But yeah, we all have all of these to some degree expressing at various points at least. So yes, what can you talk a little bit about, like, how, like, my understanding is like the stars are, you know, the stars are going around, we're going around the stars, we've got this relationship with our stars, and based on that, like, different aspects are pulled out of us maybe, or magnified, or the light is shined on us in unique ways. Could you talk a little bit about how, like, because we've got the natal chart, and then could you talk about how the transiting universe and stars influences the expression of a natal chart over the course of a lifetime?
Yeah. So what you're referring to is transit. So obviously our energy as beings, we're dynamic. We may pull different parts of our own, of aspects of our psyche in certain circumstances. And then on top of that, there's transits in the sky. And when they make a geometrical aspect to one of our planets or points, we are activated. And there are certain, it speaks to the timing and cycles of our life. Like I referred to Saturn, Saturn takes 20 and a half years to go around the zodiac. So at certain times we are activated by Saturn and we are called forward into our backbone. Now we may move into the fear, and there's an opportunity the next time we have a Saturn transit to look at that from a different angle. But these things are cumulative. So the more willingness we are to work on ourselves, the more we're going to see benefits down the line. But it's a dynamic experience. So we have the transit, but it's not totally predictive, because how we choose to use our own energy or respond in that circumstance is going to have an effect.
So the transit, so the transit is maybe a potential tendency, but then
it brings an opportunity. The transit brings an opportunity, and that may show up in physical world reality, or that opportunity may show arise from our subconscious. Mm-hmm. But it's always an opportunity to discover ourselves and discover ourselves within the context of our world.
From your perspective, how often might it be helpful to take a look at the chart in space and time, you know, how often might it be helpful to see an astrologer like you or any other astrologer?
Well, I encourage people to not become reliant on astrology, to use it as a tool, but not to check it daily. Oh my God. So I encourage, you know, once a quarter can be really great to check in, just like what's happening in this season. You know, over the course of 3 months, it can be really helpful once a year. I have clients who are, if they're experiencing a certain intense, really intense transit, like a Pluto transit, which is arguably the most intense transit you can go through, I'll see them almost in a therapeutic sense, like weekly, to process that. It really runs the gamut. So I completely leave it up to my clients to sign up or check in when they feel. And you know, I really, one of the greatest things that I love about my work is that I have clients all over the globe. So I really take into consideration the context, you know, the environment. You know, astrology is not in a vacuum. The energy gets, it's expressed through people. And so if we're raised in a certain society that expresses a certain dominant value system, that has an effect on how we relate to our own energy. So I very much take that into context. And as a student of history, I employ all of that when working with clients. It's always there.
That leads me to kind of wonder, you know, based on like the kind of political global things that are happening, can we look at astrology to kind of help us understand what's going on?
100%. 100%. Yeah. So we're approaching this major, major astrological event on January 12th called the Saturn-Pluto conjunction. And that is, Pluto takes about 240 years to go around the zodiac, Saturn about 28 and a half. So they're meeting up in Capricorn, which is the established order. So when Pluto first moved into Capricorn in 2008, it coincided with the Wall Street, the Great Recession, right? And Saturn coming along, and we're at the anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, right? Which was in 1989. So that you take those kind of two things. And last time Pluto was in Capricorn, the Declaration of Independence was signed in America. So you have all of these kind of confluence of events, and it's global order that's being shaken up at the very core. So that's what we're witnessing right now.
I kind of just got the like chills.
It's wild. And then also Uranus entered Taurus last year, will remain for about 7 years. And last time Uranus was in Taurus was the Great Depression. So there's a shakeup of, because Uranus shakes everything up at the core. It's the great liberator, but it's bringing instability to the financial markets. The things that we look to as being the source of security, there's a shakeup, right? Farming, how we relate to food sources, how we relate to water sources. Greta Thunberg, I think that's how you pronounce her last name. Everything that she's bringing forward, she's a double Capricorn with strong Scorpio. So she embodies this change, this radical change that's coming. It's really remarkable if you look at it through that context. And you look at people, and especially certain figures, as being vehicles for the change.
Totally.
It's like almost like she's like a Joan of Arc.
Yeah, she's powerful. Oh my gosh. And she, I've been like following her on social media for I think like a year and a half or something. And when I started following her, she had like 80,000 followers. She has like 6 million when I looked yesterday.
Yeah. It's going to keep climbing. So she represents, as a double Capricorn, she represents this energy that is taking hold. And it's unstoppable. I mean, there may be ways to squash it in the short term, but radical change is coming. We see it. Wow. It's already happening.
Yeah. So from the stars astrology perspective, like part of me thinks like there's nothing we can really do to change the path of the what's happening in terms of all these transits and whatnot. But obviously we can interact and relate in more elevated, aware ways. So speak a little bit to what the opportunities are, maybe collectively, as we are being, you know, inevitably being part of these transits that are associated with the, you know, the Great Depression and the Berlin Wall and the Declaration of Independence and all of these kind of energies happening, coming into sync in our time.
Well, we're being called into reevaluating or evaluating our moral code, right? What are our ethics? What are our values? And so obviously on an individual level, the more individuals do that, the more there's collective change. So there's personal responsibility, and then the accumulated personal responsibility leads to the collective change. And that's to me, what I love about astrology is that it's a gateway to understand one's makeup and then align with one's truth, because we're living in a society that is all about consumption. And there's a backlash, right? There's like the minimalism movement, but on a larger scale, there is a backlash against where all this consumption has led us. on the environment, and you must see, maybe not in Colorado as much as like the major cities like New York City and Los Angeles, but there is, I can't tell you how many people I know who have immune issues, immune disorder. It's like we are running ourselves ragged with the level of stress because we are fighting ourselves. We are fighting living in harmony with ourselves and with our environment.
Yeah.
And it's there are massive repercussions on a personal level and then on a collective level. And yeah, don't get me started on big pharma. I mean,
I'm all about getting started on big, you know, usually so I need to get ripped off of big pharma.
So I think that's, I think all of that is being challenged at the deepest level with this upcoming Saturn-Pluto conjunction and with Uranus moving to Taurus. It's like, no, the only for-profit model is not working. Like the triple bottom line is the only way forward. I mean, that's off astrology, but it's not, because we're seeing the astrology.
This is all very interesting to me, because usually I think about astrology as being like, how can one individual relate in the world? But I can't forget that the world in which each individual is living is also subject to the same forces as the people they're in.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, it's like on one hand, you know, I'm all about being empowered and informed and equipped to live my best life, but also we have to understand the life in which we're living.
Yeah.
We're not living in a vacuum or a bubble, like you kind of said before.
Yeah. And you can't decontextualize it. Right. Mm-hmm. So more and more people are waking up. I mean, millennials are all about astrology, and it's because, you know, think about the world that they're entering into. Think about this instability that they came of age in, meaning adulthood, right? It's like, how many of them have massive student loans and are, you know, fighting an uphill battle? So they're like, what is happening? So there's the context of the political and economic choices made at the very start of their life, but there has to be more, you know, millennials are all about living a life of purpose, which I think is phenomenal.
So you talked, obviously when you are working with people and from your astrology context, you're doing a lot of counseling and support and, you know, understanding and what I would also imagine is kind of helping them relate to life in a stress-free or stress managed sort of way. And we can say that stress is like a huge cause of chronic disease or at least exacerbating all chronic disease. So, you know, we kind of just spilled a lot out there in terms of like the global situation. Yes. And, so how, if you were to like kind of, counsel the citizens of the earth in terms of relating to the happenings, you know, globally, astrologically in our times, like what kind of perspective and counseling could you offer?
It's hard to say that because it's on an individual basis, right? Yeah. So what is the cause of the stress? But I would say the number one thing is unhealed childhood trauma. And someone can grow up in a seemingly very healthy home, but something happened to them, you know, at school, and they're holding that and they're trying to counteract that or rectify that in a way that's actually causing them more harm than healing. So I always, you know, the bottom line to everything is to go inward and let go. Now that sounds strange because I'm also talking about these global movements, which need to be activated and one needs to take action. So when I say let go, I don't mean, you know, sit around and eat bonbons. I mean, look at how we're using our energy. And a lot of times our scarcity and survival mentality, of which I was certainly raised in, which, you know, there's never enough, even if you have lot, there's never enough. All of that, looking at the core of that, because that is the global dis-ease. The individual belief that there is not enough leads to the scarcity mentality, leads to the idea of the hoarding, leads to chronic stress. So really, I mean, it actually kind of all starts with moving into an abundance mindset. And then there's the take what you need. Mm-hmm. Not the hoarding. And I think that has, but on a very personal level, yeah, we're, a lot of us are dealing with, we want to please parents, or we want to be accepted by our community or our tribe, or, you know, and looking at how those tribal beliefs have caused us great, great dissatisfaction as we've aged. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So kind of looking at what's, well, as you're talking, I'm like, you know, I'm listening and I'm also feeling. So, and what I'm feeling is like, as we're living in the world, it's like, you know, living our life and with the knowing that, you know, everything is gonna pass. Like the transits are gonna pass. And I think a lot of, we have a tendency to get really hung up on the mm-hmm. specifics and logistics of what's happening and what's going wrong. But it's like, you know, focusing on living our life, showing up in our integrity and in alignment with what's mm-hmm. in our highest, and just being more or less, you know, just not being so wrapped up in what's going on, because knowing that it's all fluid outside of us.
Yeah. And I mean, this too shall pass, right? I mean, this, the idea that everything is fluid and that nothing lasts forever, including us. And the underlying thing to all of it is the letting go. Mm-hmm.
So in your experience, in your work, have you been witness to any real transformative events or happenings through the astrology perspective? Like in your astrology
work? Myself or with clients?
Yeah, like both. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear like some ways that, you know, either personally or, you know, in client stories, how astrology and how gaining an astrological understanding has supported transformation or shifts or healing in whatever ways.
Well, I don't want to scare anyone, but at the end of my Pluto transit to my moon, which is a major, major transit, not everyone will have it in their lifetime. I took a month-long road trip sabbatical. This was 3 years ago, to have a rebirth. And I didn't realize what I was calling, I didn't realize what was actually going to happen, which was on day one of the road trip, my car flipped 4 times on the 101 and I had a near-death experience. So I had a literal rebirth, because a Pluto transit is a death and rebirth, but I didn't realize that I was going to have a literal rebirth. I thought I was going to take a sabbatical and go in the woods and write. And that was going to be a rebirthing.
I think I remember witnessing that happening in Facebook or whatever. Holy cow. So you kind of had an understanding of what you were getting into. You didn't have an understanding of the exact extremeness of it. Yeah.
No, that's an example. You know, I've had clients make massive, massive life changes through the course of this work. I mean, leading them to deeper senses of fulfillment, understanding, looking at their patterns, choosing into partnerships that are much more fulfilling, choosing into careers that are much more fulfilling in their life the way they thought they were supposed to, and welcoming in the life that's more in alignment.
It's really powerful. And, you know, I think like the reason why we're connecting and talking is because, back to this idea, like, you know, being empowered in your life and having psychological, spiritual well-being and connection is totally the same as health. You know, we kind of separate this like psychological, mental, spiritual health and like how we're feeling and our energy physically. But it's so the same. And I think we're having a collective understanding and awakening to that fact.
Yes, 100%.
But I think that, you know, what I am hearing you say and what I have known in my experience is having some sight and, you know, looking into the stars, yeah, our astrology, can be really supportive at gaining well-being, gaining peace.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. It's all related. And then, you know, because I did the 3 years at USM, I do a lot of chakra work. So that's less left brain and more right brain. Like, I'll be talking to a client and I'll just say, like, I'm feeling like you're very constricted in your throat. So that's obviously like surrendering the ego will to divine will. And so we'll talk about that. And it'll all relate back to astrology because everything feeds everything else, you know? Mm. So yeah, looking at the mind-body connection for sure. But I do more of that and the chakra than the straight up astrology. But I believe it's all interrelated. I also, not to freak people out, but when you go through spiritual shifts or awakening, there's also a lot of physical symptoms that accompany that. Mm-hmm. And so it can scare people. And so getting into the realizing, oh, like you're actually burning off density, you're burning off karmic energy. And
just having it sounds like you're just supporting people and having an understanding of it. This is okay. These physical symptoms are okay.
Go see a doctor.
Yeah.
I'll send people to like a naturopath, right? I'll say like, go see a naturopathic doctor or a functional medicine doctor. But yes, that listen to it. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's something to engage in dialogue with. Hmm.
Great. So I want to learn more about the course that you created. And first of all, I guess, what inspired that? Obviously, it sounds like you do a lot of teaching probably in your sessions. So you wanted to provide, I imagine, just something that's accessible to more people.
People kept asking me, how do I learn more about my chart? How do I learn more about my chart? And I was like, where do I go? And I didn't feel like there was anything out there that had this approach through the angle. It's a self-therapeutic course. So it's not just like, oh, I learned that what a sun in Virgo means. You use your own chart as a way to understand yourself and as a way to heal fears, limiting, you know, work through fears, heal limiting beliefs, look at where we may be projecting, where we may be operating out of subconscious patterns. So that's what motivated it, is that I had nowhere to send people to learn it. And so I figured I might as well create it.
Yeah. It sounds like your stars were pointing you in that direction. I'm sure there's some teacher element that's being expressed in your chart.
For sure. I have strong third house energy, which is teacher. Third and ninth house energy is teacher, and Jupiter, which is teacher.
I think I do too. I know that like all of my chart is on one. It's like a super lopsided thing. And I'm pretty sure it's like first, second, third. So cool. So what's the name of the course?
It's just intro to astrology. I should have named it Astrology and the Art of Self-Acceptance, but you learn in hindsight. What it is.
So Intro to Astrology, and where can people find it and take it?
It's on my website, and it's a digital, whatever you want. And there's a Facebook group that's, that you get access to, a private Facebook group. And it's, I'm getting really positive feedback from it. So
wonderful. It's DanielleBeinstein.com.
Yeah. And that's the same way to sign up for sessions with me, both through my website.
Great. How long has the course been running?
About 4 or 5 months since end of May.
And how long is it?
So maybe 6 months now.
Yeah.
Well, it's self-guided, so you can keep revisiting it over and over and over again, but it should take you a while to do, because there's a lot to discover in it, a lot of uncovering, a lot of journaling. And so it's, you know, I recommend that people take at least a month to do it.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm really curious and intrigued, and maybe I'll go through it myself. I'm always interested in gaining new perspective on my chart. And I'm like such a novice. And it's funny that you said that. It's like, it sounds like it's second nature to you when you started learning it, you know, foreign languages were, you know, yes, out of the question, but astrology, piece of cake. For me, it's like, what is all this stuff? Even though I'm very scientific and that geometric, I love geometry and like angles and like that part of me really clicks, but kind of everything else, all the other language doesn't. Any other kind of words of wisdom or advice maybe on the topic of people either getting into astrology, and obviously starting with your course would be a great thing to do, or kind of relating with these crazy times that we're in the midst of?
I think the word is self-acceptance, right? Because it's like, and compassion for the self. And, you know, I'm a big believer that a change is more effective when you accept where we are right now. And from there, you say, what are the choices that I'm going to make moving forward? Right? But when we're in resistance to what is, become with that energy. So that comes to us as well. Like, I'll get clients and they're like, oh man, I hate that I have an X moon. And it's like, no. Let's look at that. Because that's revealing. Like, where does that self-loathing comes from? Let's unpack that.
Yeah. Because you can't change your moon or anything else.
There's a gift in there. No. And there's a get right. Like, you know, I'd love to be 5'8". I'm not. There's benefits to being shorter. I like to travel a lot. It's really helpful on a plane that I can curl up in a seat. You know what I mean? Like, there's always a positive.
Yeah. So self-acceptance.
Yeah.
That'll take us a long way.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Miss Danielle Beinstein, thank you so much for...
It's all my pleasure.
For your time and sharing your insights and astrology. I think that, you know, what's happening globally is really interesting. So that's definitely one thing that I took away, better understanding and how to accept myself and also the world.
Yeah.
For, you know, it's like, I can't change the stars. So why bother trying? All right. Well, thanks again.
So peace. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Peace and love, and until next time.
Yes.